Let's go.
Totally Beverages.
And sometimes hot sauce.
That is a tasty root beer.
Coffee.
Water.
Cerveza.
Mountain Dew.
Beverages. Beverages.
Beverages hot sauce.
Beverages.
Beverages. Beverages hot sauce.
Welcome to Totally Beverages and Sometimes Hot Sauce, the show that was almost called K-Cups with Ro-Ro. I'm your host, Psychic Andy. Here, as always, my man, intern Josh.
Hello.
What was that?
I don't know. I'm still working out my sound selection on this thing. Okay. We're trying to
hump
our game to get a little more zoo crew.
We're 103 episodes in. I don't think it's the time to start the zoo crew now.
I've been getting up earlier.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. You know, to our guest, I'm sorry you had to endure that. Let me get an air horn or something though. Okay, right. Forget it.
We have a
very, very special guest.
I got this.
He's an actor, writer, comedian that you've seen on shows like Key and Peele, Tosh.0, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Attack of the Show. Please welcome Curtis Rainsbury?
Rainsbury in the morning.
Ah!
Well, let's get it live. Let's get it hot.
Wait, let me get your last name right.
Rainsbury.
I got it right.
Yeah. I mean, there was like a tepid pause in the middle.
But that's how I do it.
Oh. Okay.
Rainsbury?
Can I get an air horn?
I got a will.
Jeez Louise. It's falling apart. Curtis, just so you know, our listeners asked on episode 100, or I guess it was 101, we had Brian, who's he's a R. long R. time... He's alive.
He passed.
Oh.
Brian, who perished last week.
No.
I'm sorry. I totally misunderstood what happened at the end of that episode.
Anyways, there's been some, there's been a call for Josh to be upgraded from intern, but clearly that's not happening.
I'm trying.
Let's take care of some business real quick before we get into it with Curtis here.
Okay.
Do we have any business we got to take care of? We're all over that social media lately.
Mm.
The fucking Snapchat game that T-Bash Pod has going on is through the roof lately.
Oh yeah, so yeah, we're
have totally, you been snapping lately?
We've been out snapping T-Bash Pad by by a ton. Yeah, I've been doing some snaps, a couple of snaps. I snapped some coffee earlier
today.
Yesterday.
Okay,
and that's pretty good.
Find us on the Snapchat. Curtis, are you on the Snapchat?
You know what? Snapchat is the one that the social media that broke the camel's back for me.
Sure.
I just didn't get into it. And now it's too late. I'm waiting for it to die like Vine, so I don't have to do it anymore.
Oh, Vine is alive and kicking. And if you don't follow us on Vine, you're not living.
Didn't they just announce though they're like axing Vine?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, they did.
They did.
Although we just opened a Vine account. We're gonna be there till the bitter end.
Well, follow us on our Vine account, T-Bash Pod. I wonder if we could start one right now.
It probably could. It's probably a lot of free real estate up there.
You know what? Yeah. You make a good Vine account right now. You could change the game.
That's true. We could single-handedly
save Vine.
We could flip it. That's
okay.
It. Okay, we'll do
so
it.
So that's our business for this week. Follow us on Vine, T-Bash Pod. And I think if enough people follow us, if every listener to this podcast followed us,
mm-hmm. If you get 10 friends,
Vine lives. It.
Vine lives.
And if those 10 friends.
A Vine
ten
pyramid
friends,
scheme.
Yeah. To save someone's business, we had to start a pyramid scheme.
Let's just get right into it. Chris, we like to get to know each other. I should also say that Curtis and I live very close to each other. We sometimes run into each other. So this will be interesting because we're really going to get to know each other in a much deeper way.
Yeah, we have like a neighborhood connection.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's like... It's deep, but also surface level. So
exactly.
Like,
So things are going to take on a new life today, so to speak.
This could change things.
It could.
Yeah.
We could leave being cooling on each other.
Yeah.
Or things could get real nice and hot in here.
Yeah,
nasty
yeah.
Neighbors.
It's like it could be a real steamy winter here.
Mm. Oh! Could be a warm weather. Or warm weather winter.
That's right.
Oh, boy. All right. So,
Indian summer.
Yeah, Indian winter?
That seems...
Only in Los Angeles.
Indian racist. Winter seems racist. Indian summer seems fine.
Well, that's a whole different podcast.
Let's get into the thick of it.
Let's dive deep. Anybody have Native American blood? So, Curtis,
So we like to get to know our guests by what we call the beverage profile.
Okay.
So we want you to take us through a day in the life of Curtis. From the second you wake up, we want to know what's hitting your lips, beverage style, and take us through the whole day, and we'll help you out along the way.
Okay.
What time are you waking up?
7:30 to 8:30.
I don't buy it. I've never seen this man out on the streets.
Now, what time do I get at my house? Different story.
Oh. Okay. But so, okay. Yeah. So you're waking up 7:38?
Yeah. Alexis works in the morning. She tries to get up early, maybe go work out. And that Alexis is my girlfriend.
Yeah.
My landlady.
My landlady.
She lives
she's
hour and a half
so
away.
Loud.
We take each other.
She calls in the morning. She's 89 years old and just a doll, a sweetheart. So she'll get up and then the dog will wake up and then I'll kind of like rustle myself up. And then I have a coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first thing?
First thing. I go up and I make coffee. Straight black. Yeah.
When you say you go up.
I wake up, I should say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You weren't going to the upstairs kitchen,
which
is a thing sometimes.
Yeah, I was really hoping to see that. It's so, and now, you know, you can't just leave us with, I make myself a coffee.
Now.
How are you making this coffee? What's your
lady number two? What's
your cook? coy guest the whole time.
I don't know. I couldn't possibly. I have a Keurig, and I used to not drink coffee at all, so I would like on occasion I would have a coffee. So I got a Keurig; it was great.
Yeah,
and then I drink a lot of coffee now, and it's so like so not efficient anymore to just have a Keurig when I have like three cups. It just feels like I'm doing a lot of movements.
Oh, interesting. When did your what was the shift that you became a coffee drinker?
You know what? It just happened one day. Like I can't even. There was no like. Pin in it like oh but the day my my grandfather passed or something like it's just like
have a coffee
yeah have a coffee your grandfather's passed
it was in his will
yeah he gave me the Keurig in the will so I felt like I had to start using it I think like over the past couple years I used to not like coffee and then I would drink it if I had to wake up early or be on like a road trip or be on set early. And then just somewhere, I think I just got older and like my body's like tired.
Yeah.
So now I have like 2 to 4 cups a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of K-cup are you throwing in that bad boy?
Say, first of all, you know, you need to know this is a very safe space. What you're talking about now is essentially exactly the genesis of this very podcast, especially, and if we have any new listeners out there, this is how it happened, was that Andy was getting into coffee. Mm-hmm. And K-Cups, and that was why the show is almost called K-Cups with Roro.
Yeah, I was just going to each week review a K-Cup.
That's so great.
Yeah. I know. Probably would have been the better
that?
Show.
Can I have that?
You can have
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on Vine, just a Vine perfect. Review.
It's happening right now. Vine, we'll follow you. If
Vine's
that's what
big.
You do on Vine.
I oscillate between my K-Cups, a couple different brands, San Francisco Bay Coffee Company.
Oh.
On Amazon, you could buy them in a great deal on bulk. So,
okay. What kind of roast is that? Or is it one kind of roast? Or do they have several
offerings?
They have
several offerings. And I usually get, I think it's called the Fog Chaser.
Oh, yeah.
Great name, you know?
Like yeah.
Chase
yeah.
that fog away. It's got a nice picture of the Bay Area with fog leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And then Costco. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Costco.
But which Costco?
Bold.
Oh, you get the Kirkland
brand.
You know, that's one, if you look on, like, if you look for reviews, that gets pretty solid reviews. I remember in my K-Cup sleuthing days.
Yeah.
That was a good deal out there.
They have, like, all their, like, store label brands are usually, they buy something else and, like, label it. So they're usually buying a pretty high quality product and just putting their label on it.
Yeah.
Yes. They don't tell you what it is.
This is a great time. So I took back my Keurig machine to Costco a year after I'd been using it because I got off the Keurig machine. So I just took it back because Costco has the best return policy of all time. I also took
this
back
filthy.
Like, but you don't even have to give a reason. That's a great thing. You don't even have to come up with a reason. You can just say I don't like it anymore.
But you know, most people come up there with something locked and loaded, like a
totally.
Story, and they're just like, I already returned it.
Money's already back. The machine burned my dog's hand as malfunctioning, and I'm lucky I'm not suing you. I'd like a refund, please.
But I took back a box of the Bold because I opened it up, and there were like one of them had exploded. And so there was a lot of loose grounds in the box.
Too bold.
And it just wasn't for me. I couldn't like get into the rest of the box for some reason. Although I know all those vacuum sealed little K-cups are fine.
Yeah.
But it ruined it for me. And so I just took it back to Costco. No big deal.
Huh. And they were like, here you go.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And they give you cash. That's another thing. If anyone needs to need some quick cash and needs a credit card scam, you came to the right place.
Yeah. Just assume stuff is from Costco.
Just go buy a $1,000 TV and then walk back the next day. And I think they give you cash. Maybe there's a limit on how much cash they'll give you.
Yeah. Like a upper limit to what they'll return in cash.
But why do you think they're always giving the cash? They don't even give you the option. It's like they just open up the cash.
I don't know.
Maybe they also have a scam going on where they're trying to launder money. They need to get rid of this cash.
Yeah.
It's like a two-way scam. They're aware of your scam, and they're doing a scam, so they're fine with it.
They love your scam.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think you're doing it. They're just doing it.
Suckers, bring it back. Yeah.
So, like, you could theoretically, this is the off-season, you could go find your neighbors, like, above ground pool, like one of those portable above grounds, pack the whole thing up in a big tarp and like grab all the pool noodles and bring it back for cash.
No, you do have to have all of the original packaging. And this is an interesting thing too. Imagine if you, I've taken back a couple Nutribullets, which that is beverage related.
That's true.
But because one died. Like
the sample station, you're just like, give me this.
But one time I came back with it and I didn't have like the free book that comes in with it.
Oh shit.
And they're like, no, you need the book. Like they won't take it back unless you have everything. Now, you don't have to worry about like putting it all back together in like a box that fits right. You can throw everything in. They just want everything. And since I think so many people are returning stuff, they know.
They know.
They know what's missing.
My this is not my story, but such a good story. I have to tell it. My friend's mom returned a vacuum cleaner after like 7 years. Full, like with a full bag of like dog hair and dirt, and they took it like reluctantly. She had the box and the receipt and just returned it. And it's like beat up and like full, it's like obviously been aggressively used, and like they took it back. And like that's how I learned about the return policy. Yeah. He was like, yeah, my mom will return anything there. And I was like,
just like once a week the bag's full, the whole thing in bags.
Here you
like,
go,
you deal with that. I don't fucking understand this.
Wow,
that's really incredible. So that's where you get your K-cups.
That's where I get my K-cups.
And so how do you dress up this around. Cup of coffee?
Straight black.
Mm. And I do have a question. Sorry, one more question about your Keurig machine. Is it like a 2.0?
No. I mean, this is legacy Keurig.
Keurig classic.
Digital display at all or just buttons?
No, just buttons. Like, it could use an upgrade, but then I feel like until it dies, it's going to...
Yeah.
It's like a classic car.
I think that is that everyone kind of says you don't want to get that 2.0 because then you have to use all of the proprietary.
Oh, right. They have the some cup kind of reader.
I think they killed that.
Really?
Yeah, I do think that they killed it. And now it's called Keurig Hot.
Oh, right, because of Keurig Cold. But
even though Keurig Cold's dead. Door. Yeah, it's dead.
Keurig Cold, what a sad.
Sad.
They got too greedy.
Yeah. Well, they flew too close to the sun with that one.
I mean, and Keurig Hot is going to, its days are kind of numbered, I think.
Yeah, that... Do you have a plan in your life if that day comes?
I hadn't even thought of it. I have is the like refillable cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, sure. You
can put your own grounds in.
Oh yeah.
But at that point you're just making the most the smallest serving of normal coffee.
Yeah.
Like if you're putting grounds in, you should just use a coffee maker and have like a larger control of your coffee.
Instead of a 4 ounce coffee.
Instead of a single use coffee maker.
Yeah, how often are you using that thing?
I used it this morning because we ran out of coffee. Mm. Oh, and I have a Pete's breakfast bowl that I just bought from Target today.
Yeah.
So that'll be my coffee until I go to Costco this week.
Great.
It's excellent. Really good. Yeah.
That's good to know.
So what happens after this cup of coffee?
I grab my headphones, put on some music or a news type podcast, and I walk my dog.
Mm.
If there's like something I can snack on, I'll try to have a little snack too. So I try not to eat after like 10 p.m. anymore. Mm. So sometimes I go to bed at 2 a.m. and I'm starving, And I'm like, I'll get a treat in the morning when I wake up.
Right.
As soon as I wake up, I'm like,
it's a different podcast, Curtis.
Yeah, see, we'd love to talk with you about this, but it's just off limit. Especially since you're apparently doing this dry. I don't know.
So there's no beverage on the dog walk.
Oh. So if I don't finish my coffee, it goes on the walk with me.
Yeah. Mm.
Sometimes I re-up, have a second cup.
What kind of vessel is it in?
Yeah. I have a... one of those like reusable Starbucks cups.
Oh yeah, it looks like a Starbucks cup. Yeah, but it's like ceramic.
Yeah.
I like the look.
No, it's like plastic.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a higher grade plastic cup.
Okay.
So it's reusable, but also if you lost it, you wouldn't be sad.
Right.
But it's a little too hot, so I often find myself changing hands a lot.
Yeah.
Because it like there's no. You still need one of those cup.
Those cupboards. They should make like a rubber one.
Yeah, they should make one for that. So if I remember, I always try to like take one from a coffee cup and leave it in the cupboard with it.
Oh, yeah.
But then I'll end up throwing it away because I'm like, this is garbage.
Right. I mean, you can't put it in the dishwasher.
Trash in my hand. Get this out of here.
Andy, dishwasher, please. My apartment's very old.
So let's say after the dog walk.
Died years ago.
Yeah. After the dog walk, my days vary into where I have nothing to do or a lot to do. So if I'll either go to a coffee shop maybe, do some writing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been making my own cold brew coffee.
Oh, we're listening.
So I will make like a liter of cold brew and then remove it from my cold brewer.
What brewer do you have? Do you have the Toddy?
The OXO? I think OXO makes one.
Not the OXO. I wish I knew. It's a great brand. It's highly reviewed on Amazon.
We'll get a photo of that one. We'll get a photo. Yeah. We'll put that in the comment section.
It's really great. It's simple. It has like a screw-in filter and like a nice rubberized handle and completely airtight. You can leave it on its side in the fridge so it doesn't take up as much space.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, so you let it...
So you put it in and you have to let it sit for like 24 hours.
Sure.
So it's got like a screw-in filter on the lid. For 24 hours, you let it sit. And you can take that filter and your grounds out and use it as your serving container. What I do is I take it out, put my coffee that I just brewed into like another glass container.
Okay.
And then I start a new batch. That way I'm never keep it going. Out of cold brew.
One on deck always.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
And do you dress that up at all, or is that...
I don't. I just straight black on everything.
Yeah.
I like your style.
Yeah.
Now, is with that cold brew, what coffee are you using? Just ripping open a bunch of K-cups and dumping it in there
eventually? Yeah, it's time consuming. You know what I've been using, which is... I'm out of that, too, so now I have to make a choice. But I've been using leftover coffee that's been in our freezer, just random bags from, like, we went on, like, a trip somewhere. We, like, rented a house with friends, like... We'd buy coffee for the coffee maker, and I'd have like a big bag left over, so I just threw it in the freezer. So I've been like using that leftover one.
Oh, interesting. Your own blend. It's Colin's special blend.
Well, this one is Trader Joe's pumpkin spice coffee grounds that I just finished.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Was that good for cold brew?
No.
Oh, that could be terrible.
Yeah.
I never thought about what something like that would...
It like you don't need that in the cold brew. You don't want that flavor to come out.
Yeah,
like it's nice for a nice hot coffee on a seasonal day.
Yeah, but
randomly like in a mug while looking at the internet, it's terrible.
Mm.
But it's over now. So
Okay, so if you're at your coffee shop or you're doing a cold brew, I just gotta know what coffee shops are you hanging out at?
Yeah, where can we find you?
La Mille.
Yeah.
Very close to our house.
Yeah, I bet you run into my wife there sometimes.
You know what? We have never crossed paths there.
Are you serious?
But we both know we go there.
Wow.
Yeah. I was doing a Cafecito Organico.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice outdoor
solid.
Patio.
I still have not been to that place, but I've...
Very solid.
They have like a stand at the farmer's market in my neighborhood sometimes. Mm.
Oh.
Okay. So I know they exist.
You got to get the real deal for it.
Apparently.
You know,
yeah.
There's a whole experience. There's a nice outdoor patio there, like when it was like post summer, pre like cold season.
Yeah,
I did a lot of writing out there.
Okay.
Cold brew.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... Straight black.
All right. So lunchtime's happening.
I've been trying to be healthier, save some money. I have a SodaStream, so I'll make my lunch at home, and I drink I bought like extra containers. So I try to also stock up on SodaStream. So I'll have like 3 or 4 in my fridge.
Just plain?
I would, sometimes I do like a pink grapefruit, sugar-free pink grapefruit seasoning. Is it called seasoning when it's for?
I like it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm for it.
Little seltzer seasoner. Mm-hmm. So I'll do like a pink grapefruit that like is the SodaStream brand.
Okay.
Sugar-free.
And it's like a seltzer water, like a little flavoring for the seltzer water.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because I was buying so many, I would go to Trader Joe's and buy just dozens of bottles at a time of like a sparkling water.
Yeah.
And so I like a year or 2 years ago, maybe for my birthday, I got a SodaStream.
Nice.
And I love it.
Where are you refilling your cartridges?
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yep. You do the trade-in program, sort of?
Do the trade-in, and I bought the larger cartridge.
Okay.
Like, it comes with the really skinny one, like a sad amount of carbonation.
Yeah.
So I bought the big one so I don't have to go as often.
How often do you find yourself going?
You know what? Not often. So, like, I think I get 6 months out of it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I doubled up on it. It's at least double the size of what you should get.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so lunchtime, maybe some sparkling water. Take us through the rest of your day.
I love a diet soda.
Mm.
So I try not to buy it in the house because I'll drink too much of it.
Yeah.
On the sparkling water, I'll have 3 or 4 of those like SodaStream bottles, and I'll drink like 3 of them a day sometimes.
Yeah.
So if I had like a liter bottle of soda or like cans,
I would
drink the whole thing just because like, for somebody that really like drinking things.
What's your favorite diet flavor?
Yeah. You got to stay hydrated.
You know? You got to stay hydrated. Diet Mountain Dew.
Okay. This is
why
moment.
We do the show.
But this is the moment where we're going to cool on each other. I am ride or die Mountain Dew. And when my brother started drinking Diet Mountain Dew, it almost tore us apart.
Okay.
It is such an inferior beverage.
I will agree with that because when you have a real Mountain Dew, it's great. Diet soda minus a Diet Coke all tastes like a sad version of their normal soda, you know? Mm. But I used to be a big fat dude, and so the first thing I cut out calories is like, I don't want to drink calories. I'd rather eat something bad today than like have like 120 calories.
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
It's a sacrifice.
And so once you're living in that world, it still is like the Diet Mountain Dew just becomes the Mountain Dew.
It becomes Mountain Dew. I treat myself occasionally. So I have a real one.
And so when you get one, when might you get a Diet Mountain Dew? And what are you getting, a 2 liter of it, or are you finding?
I'm doing like the 7-Eleven, like 12.
Oh, okay.
7 ounce bottles or whatever.
Gotcha.
So this is just when you're on like Curtis time.
And yeah,
like,
this is a treat for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, late night on set, I'm hitting the 7-Eleven on the
way. Yeah, if I'm driving home, I'm going to buy like that and a protein bar.
Yeah.
That's like my like 7-Eleven trip. And maybe some almonds. Yeah. Different podcast, I understand. But
no, but see, there you go.
But you're comboing.
That was a combo.
Yeah.
We're okay with complimentary snack discussions.
And at a restaurant, I'll probably order a Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so it's about dinner time. Did you have another? Is there an afternoon coffee hitting your lips at all, or do you kind of stop your coffee?
I kind of stop my coffee unless I need to get up for something. If I'm like going somewhere, I have like a rehearsal or something to do at night, like that. I have to be like, I had a coffee before I came here, so I wanted you guys to get the full meal.
Yeah,
love it.
That Pete's coffee.
So you've already cracked into that and you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, because I was very upset about my morning coffee that was like old coffee grounds. Actually, it was a air dried package of Kona coffee.
Sure.
Like Hawaii that had been in our freezer for a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I finally went to Hawaii for the first time in my life. Like, I guess it was 2 years ago.
Here we go.
Always with the Hawaii. I've been to Hawaii. Jesus. Listen.
Okay.
First class the whole way. It was, but I bought some coffee there expecting like, oh, this is probably going to be really special. Like how, because when, where do you ever get like coffee from the source to your face? All right. it's like really expensive, right? I think even there, if I remember correctly, it was also like expensive, but you just see it in grocery stores and it's that 100% Kona coffee. And it's like fucking, it's like kind of like tar.
Ugh. It's a sludgy mix.
Yeah. But so you got some in the freezer.
Yeah.
So now it kind of tastes like dumplings and
it's
old hamburger
mix
meat.
Of hamburger meat, dumplings, and like reduced guilt mac and cheese.
I can still taste it.
Okay, so what are you having with dinner?
I go back to the sparkling.
Okay, nice.
I rarely enjoy normal water.
Yeah.
I did have a question. I don't think, unless I missed this point, with your SodaStream, are you just pre-chilling the flat water in your fridge, or are you streaming those with soda
capping into the fridge?
So how long does that last? How long will it stay fizzy?
You know what? I never get past like 2 days without drinking through. Yeah. I have 4 of those bottles, and I usually have like 2 in the fridge. So, but it stays fizzy for a long time. I've never experienced like a non-fizz soda stream.
I was expecting you to say like 4 hours, so that's, I'm already impressed.
Yeah, I mean, at least 2 days.
Wow.
Anything after that, I'm not willing to put my name on the line for SodaStream's fizziness.
But, right. And you just add a couple pumps. No big deal.
Yeah.
It's right there waiting for you.
Wherever you go.
Do you have a SodaStream?
We used to have one. Elizabeth was a huge fan for a while when she was pregnant, I think, with our daughter. And she soured on it for some reason.
Do you think I'm pregnant, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh.
That could explain a lot.
Well, this is exciting, you know?
This is great.
Yeah. Our listeners will be happy to send you all kinds of... You set up your... We'll put a link to Curtis's registry.
Oh, for sure.
On the website, in the comment section.
In the comment section.
Yeah.
Great.
But yeah, we got off of it. I think we have one in the... I think it's in the garage.
Oh.
And I fucking go to town on sparkling water now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like maybe that is something we should be. Because it's nice. It's like you never run out, too.
Yeah, and when you're out, you're like, oh, I'll just move my hand 3 times and back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so dinner time, sparkling water. Take us through the rest of the evening.
I have been at night now having like a decaf tea.
Ooh.
There's a...
we're very tickled by everything you're telling us tonight.
I've never been so excited to tell someone about the tea I was having. I bought a chocolate mint tea.
Huh.
And then I also have, it's called Throat Coat.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with
love,
Throat Coat.
I love Throat Coat. I bought it when I lost my voice on this tour, and someone's like, oh, you got to get Throat Coat.
Yeah.
And I just love the flavor of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So
very popular with singers and I imagine actors as well.
Yeah.
It was a singer friend who told me, like, get Throat Coat.
Yeah. It kind of has, there's a little like viscosity to it, right? When you're drinking it.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
I like that kind of licorice, anise flavor.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever mess around with it in cocktail form? On purpose?
Like the Throat Coat with the cocktail?
Oh, no.
That would be like a hot toddy with a Throat Coat.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's a way to
mark
party.
Mark that down. Someone write that down for me.
I think Josh was referring to the anise.
Yeah,
So,
Drink Jaeger? You fuck with Jaeger?
Yo, you fucks with Jaeger? Could we do some bombs on these beers here? I do have like a, what is it, Ricard? Which is a cousin of Absinthe. Of like the... I'm going to pronounce this wrong. I think Pernod Ricard is the company. Mm. And they have like they split from the family that made like one of the major Absinthe companies. So that almost is like what Absinthe was originally recipe wise, minus like whatever that wormwood thing.
Oh.
So it's got that kind of flavor to it. And then I also like Sambuca.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Old Greek treats.
Yeah. Old Greek treat.
Yeah.
And then end of the night. Anything?
So a couple times a week, the end of the night is probably going to be like a whiskey on a rock, like a rye whiskey.
Yeah.
My go-to like have around brand is like Bullet Rye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid.
It's a very solid choice.
It's a good one. Available at Trader Joe's in California.
Maybe even at Costco. Maybe around the holidays, especially. I want to see if they got a good deal on that.
Get a gigantic large bottle of that. This
3 liter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah. 3 liter. That's what you want.
You're going to want that.
Yeah.
Then you need just like a guy like who helps you lift the bottom.
Yeah.
Imagine it's very
just a tiny man to stand on your table. And Yeah, I have a pretty nice selection of like bourbons and whiskeys that I kind of alter what I'm drinking, but a pretty classic go-to is Bullet Rye or Buffalo Trace.
Mm, okay.
I think Buffalo Trace is like the best across the board entry-level bourbon, like high quality, like low price, above like a Maker's Mark or Jack Daniel's.
Okay.
Or
something.
Yeah. Now, and I think, and you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the same distillery that does Pappy Van Winkle.
Yes.
Is like the Buffalo Trace is like they're available all the time.
Yeah. Situation. They bought out the like the remaining barrels and the naming for Pappy. So I have a ton of knowledge of whiskeys, bourbons, and Pappy stuff. If anyone's interested in that. Interesting. Not. I mean, it could be a different show, but.
Well, I'm glad we're drinking what we're drinking tonight and didn't
didn't go down the whiskey train. Well, I'm not allowed to have whiskey.
Oh, that's true.
In general, across the board?
My wife doesn't like me having whiskey. I get real angry.
That's my tequila.
Mm. Yeah. See, I love the tequila. Tequila, I get fun.
See, this is where you guys can meet back in the middle here. Yeah. This is your yin and yang moment.
Yeah.
I just got back to tequila. I think I took a long time away from it. Like, I think it was like a college thing where I had bad tequila and a lot of it.
Yeah.
And so then I just like marked that as like, oh, something I don't drink. But now that I've had like better tequila and less of it.
Right.
It seems to be not as problematic.
I like.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you got a nice array of bourbons.
Yeah.
Do you hydrate at all before you go to bed? Do you put anything on your nightstand?
I'll try to drink a big glass of water. I don't take it in the bedroom because I'll knock it over. Mm-hmm. So, like a big glass of water. I mean, throughout the day, I will have normal water, but it's so unmemorable to me. I don't enjoy it. Like,
it's maintenance.
Yeah. Are you like me, a chugger?
Yes.
Yes. You'll rip through that bad boy right before you
totally
hit the sack.
So I just pound down that glass of water. And if I'm having it during the day, I'll pound it. Like, I'm never like, oh, just casually enjoy my water.
Yeah. I'll forget about it. That's my problem these days. If I start drinking it, I have to chug it.
Do you guys like your water cold or room temp?
I really like it cold. At night, I tend to go room temp straight from my on-sink Brita.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I feel the same. I think my heart likes cold water, but my head says get the room temp so you can chug it more easily, more thoroughly.
Yeah, it's about efficiency when it comes to water.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should get to our shootout.
Yeah. It's time.
It's that time of the year, literally.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Hip, hip, hooray.
My favorite line from a Christmas song, the Beach Boys, Little Saint Nick.
Uh-huh. Oh, sure.
It happens three times in the song. I just did a... This is like a recycled bit because I just did it in a live show, but it's, I want to assume it's Brian Wilson, but it's probably not. But it happens at the beginning of the song, 3 minutes go by, happens twice at the end. Christmas comes this time each year. Christmas comes this time each year. And it's gone. It's just the most random, like classic Beach Boys song, like Little Saint Nick, Little Saint, and then Christmas comes this time each year.
Like somebody was either sort of mad about it. Like,
yeah.
Again? or that's what they started with. That was the spine of that song.
And they just kept pulling it out by the end. And it just had a little intro and a little outro. But
hey, guys, I got a new song. It's called Christmas Comes This Time Each Year.
Jeez,
it's
about- Brian. Yeah.
I noticed every year, December 25th, Christmas again.
Okay, let's record it. Yeah,
that's a beautiful thing. I can hear it now. It's funny those things you just never notice in songs until they're pointed out, and it's going to be
you'll never hear it the same way ever again.
Yeah. So thanks for ruining Christmas, Chris.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Super glad.
Yeah. You're welcome, boys. With that.
Have a good night.
Hey. Oh well, it just disappeared. So we're doing as our shootout today. We've got some. Some wintry beers. We've got some, so we did some winter IPAs.
Yep.
And one false winter IPA. And as a, what we'll call a control.
Okay.
To see if we can actually tell any difference between
the snow and the no.
Yeah, the snow and the no.
Snow and the no. I like that.
And then we have some some ales.
Winter ales.
Winter ales. And we'll do 3 and 3.
Let's do the IPAs first.
IPAs first.
We've got a Coronado Brewing Company Snowy Plover.
Hmm. That sounds exciting.
What? I don't get the plover.
P-L-O-V-E-R? Plover?
P-L-O-V-E-R.
It's like clover with a P.
But what does the P mean?
I'm so glad you asked.
Plover.
Snowy plover.
A snowy plover.
There's no...
It's a bird.
Oh.
Is a plover. So I think it's just the name of the... Is there even like a logo on there? It's all text.
There is a bird over here. Seasonal selection. There is
Jesus
a bird.
Christ.
Winter Indian Pale Ale.
Yeah.
Then we got the Sierra Nevada Celebration Fresh IPA.
Yeah, and so they do these each year, and people like collect them.
Well, and the guy at the liquor store, shout out Vendome Liquors.
Boom.
He said the Sierra Nevada one's super legit.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting. Was news to me. I don't know. That's and then the one that Josh got that has nothing to do with Christmas time or Hanukkah is the Equinox IPA.
That's right.
Lost Coast Brew Labs.
So I want to
Lost Coast Brew Labs.
So the idea
these guys.
They are normally just normally called Lost Coast Brewery. But this is like a it is seasonal and it's a specialty brew.
From their lab.
From the lab.
Yeah. I still don't like it.
I want to see their lab.
Has a sweet basement you guys got there.
So we have three different colors here, which is interesting. Let's just start with this one right here. We'll call this one number one.
All right.
The darkest of the bunch. Now, Curtis, you should know I'm not a fan of IPAs.
Oh, okay.
How do you feel about IPAs?
I overdid it on IPAs. I'm a huge fan, got really into them. So I have a few that I very much enjoy. There's a few styles I like, but I've kind of cooled off on IPAs.
Yeah, okay.
Like you cooled off on me for Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about IPAs a bit.
Wow. Got it.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can't bring it back together. Not a lot of hops.
I can smell a lot of malt, not a lot of hops, just on the nose, guys. I'm a nose guy.
Does this smell like an IPA? I don't even know what an IPA should smell like.
Andy hates IPAs.
I hate
you say
them.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't bad, though.
I would say this leans to me away from an IPA.
It seems soapy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's maybe the closest IPA like characteristic to it is like that's where I feel like that's the only place you taste the kind of hoppiness is
the soap.
Comes across as soapy.
That soap hops.
Soap hops.
Yeah.
And you know what else? Small bubbles on this. It's very foamy, which I also think contributes to the soapy factor because there's more of like a mouth feel to it than there might be otherwise.
It's smooth. It'll be interesting to look at maybe the ABV on these after we drink them, maybe.
It's also the darkest of the bunch.
Yeah.
Whatever
but
that's
this
worth.
Is smooth. It's not...
Well, there's no like kind of bitter aftertaste. Like, there's, like IPAs kind of blow out your palate sometimes with that like over-hopped thing.
Yeah.
I would say that's pretty mellow on... definitely mellow on the hops on my palate.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. All right. Well, let's move on to number two. Okay. I think this is going to be a kind of compare.
If we were doing all six, I would have assumed it was in the other category.
Yeah.
I wonder if I fucked up.
Possible. We'll find
out. I don't think so.
Wait. And is, sorry, which one?
Oh, here.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
We're going dark to light here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also very foamy looking up
Not
top.
Much on the nose on this one either.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
I'm almost getting nothing on
this.
It's
like, all cup, plastic cup.
Yeah. Great smelling cups, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Give a shout out to these cups.
Costco, baby. Costco.
Costco
I'm going to take these back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got to stack these up neatly.
Save that packaging.
Oh, much.
That would actually be really funny if you put all the used cups back in the bag.
What a giant fuck you. January 2nd, you just go in there with all your New Year's Eve supplies.
Yeah. Horn blowers and hats and everything.
Those, like the Chinette paper plates. This one got gravy all over it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We didn't end up using them. Yeah, you did.
No. Nope. The same crock pot that has the same weird goop from these. Obviously, you made Swedish meatballs in here. No.
I couldn't find the packaging for the meatballs or else I would have returned those.
This one's much hoppier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These don't, neither of these so far feel aggressive, which is why I don't like IPAs. They usually feel aggressive to me.
Yeah. These were leaning towards like pale ale to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that.
Isn't IPA something
India
pale ale?
Pale ale.
It's a India pale ale.
Yeah.
So it's more hopped. So like the idea is like they had to put extra hops in it.
They hop it up.
Trip to
India.
India. So when they like were barreling, I guess,
yeah,
their beer for their boats, they like hopped it extra so it would last or
longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and then it was just like a post-colonial thing. Just people in Britain who were serving in India in the, when there was a colony got back to the UK and got used to the taste, and so then they just could sell it to,
gotcha,
veterans, basically.
Yeah. Huh, okay.
It's weird. So, you know, Curtis was mentioning cooling on IPAs. I feel like the rest of the country has too, because I think,
oh, like it's over.
I think that's why it was so hard to find three seasonal. I can't imagine if this was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I feel like not only would we've had our choice of whatever micro brews from up and down, like wherever west of the Mississippi, also like Sam Adams, New Belgium. I'm sure all of those like kind of big, you know.
Yeah, you're like big five.
Yeah,
like non-Budweiser brewers.
Right, would have done them too. But like there was nothing, and it feels like people are way more on to, you know, a lot of saisons, a lot of gauze beers.
I think like that like shift from remember when everyone was into Sierra Nevada. Like,
sure,
that, yeah, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale was like the thing.
Yep.
And then I feel like IPAs came around, and now I feel like people who are like into beer, like barrel aged or sours, like people moved, yeah, out of IPA.
Well, yeah, but I still think at the store though there were so many IPAs, and this is a thing like I've kind of ignored the whole movement because I don't like them.
Yeah.
So to me, even when I had IPA goggles on, I was kind of surprised, honestly. Like, there's so many IPAs. Like, it seems like it is one of the bigger, yeah, genres at the beer, yeah, store.
I think it is like still super huge, but I think people are moving
away from.
I think that the early adopters of IPAs are like moving on to
long gone
sours or like,
yeah, yeah.
So now like it's mostly like frat boys, sort of.
It just kind of moved into the mainstream. Like, you have to have an IPA. I think every brewery now has to have one, but it's like, you know, it's like the strawberry ice cream of their sort of like big three beers. You know, you kind of have to have like a light beer, a dark beer, and an IPA.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's a, but like there, what would have been, say, you know, again, like more of the experimental stuff or the seasonal things, or hey, we're going to throw this out there, would have been IPAs like 2 years ago. And now it's like, this is our blood orange, you know, farmhouse beer. And like, you know, that's like become more of, or whatever it is. I'm sure there's probably several kind of thing, or more just people being like, well, we're going to discover that what the next big thing is. And so it's kind of just more like diversified.
Right.
Scattered. I don't know. But yeah, just looking at, I was at Bill's Liquors, which is my local,
in Atwater?
In Atwater.
Love that place.
It's great. It's awesome. Yeah. Like, and it's and like they always have fun stuff and like kind of the normal stuff, whatever you want. But it's a, and they do the fun mix and match six packs, so you can just get singles and stuff.
Yeah.
Great for the show. And but they really had nothing. I was just surprised in that respect. And there was still a lot of seasonal shit. A lot of milk stouts.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just by name, I don't think I've really tried a milk stout, or I haven't bought one. Yeah. Just the name turns me off. Like, I don't drink a lot of milk in my life. I don't know if you guys are milk guys.
But I'm back in the milk with the kids now.
Yeah.
But I'm only doing it on cereal. But, like, they'll ask for milk every once in a while.
Yeah.
I'll drink a glass of milk. I don't give a shit. But yeah. I will. But milk stout, the name does fucking gross me out. I completely agree. It just seems, it's, but I don't know. That'll be.
I'm interested. I want to try them. I want to try them.
That will be a, it's an a
preview
episode
for an episode, for sure, coming up.
Hey!
All right, let's move on to this third one here.
Okay.
Now, this smells rotten to me. Does this smell funky?
It kind of does smell a little tainty.
Yeah. Let's see.
And I don't mean tainted.
Ew.
Like, it does smell a little bit like weed and undercarriage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting the weed and like a some sort of rodent fart.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a mouse fart in there.
Mm.
It does have like a stale weed.
The smell is horrible.
Yeah.
Mm. Is this really off? Or is this what an IPA is?
I bet if we look, we look at the bottles,
Hoyness.
I bet it's old. The bottling date is old.
Okay. I can't really drink this.
Yeah.
And what makes you say just the taste, the horrible taste and smell?
Yeah, I think like, what would give that up to you? Because it was terrible and smelled bad and tasted bad. I feel like there's a couple things. I used to do a beer podcast, and I worked in bars, and so I got really into beer, and I have like a beer guru guy who kind of like taught me a bunch about beers.
Oh, nice.
The difference between having like a very fresh beer, like that beer off the line, versus 4 months later or 6 months when you're dealing with something like a hop, which isn't like a – like somewhere like Budweiser has got their recipe down, and – a Budweiser anywhere in the world is going to taste the same pretty much.
Sure.
And
they super like, homogenized.
Yeah. It's like a testament to how good they brew the beer, like to be able to get that same taste everywhere.
Right.
So you're buying in large bulk and you're like really spending a lot of science to make your beer taste neutrally the same everywhere. But when you have something with like either like a smaller brewery or like changing hop yields or something, your flavor is going to taste different each bottling sometimes, but if it sits and you have a hop forward flavor, it's gonna like dull out.
Well, there's nothing dull about this one to me. It feels off to me. Nothing Christmassy about this last one.
Seems
whatsoever.
A little experimental, doesn't it?
It does seem experimental.
May have came from a lab.
Oh.
Well, let's get into this.
Lost to history.
Curtis, what was your favorite of these three?
Okay. I think I'm gonna say the first one, but it's between one and two.
When I smell one now,
Chris throws a curveball and there's like, I'd say three, hands down.
One has like a nice, almost like a slight coffee smell on the nose to me.
That's another thing. They've opened up a bit. Going back to one, I smell the coffee on it. Yeah, there's like a sweet.
Uh huh. It's nice. It has a little bit.
Oh boy.
It's got a little bit of that kind of rubber tire thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're both one and two are very smooth. It almost reminds me more of, it's almost like a nitro beer, you know?
Oh, interesting.
It's got a little bit, like it's really that kind of smooth sort of creaminess to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, a little like a flat, you know, like
yeah,
that nitro
yeah,
beer,
sure.
like
yeah, yeah.
pours. I would say two. I'm going to wager two is my favorite.
And then you go two, one, three. Josh?
Certainly. I will do the exact same thing.
I'm going to go one, two, three. I think I like the first one a little bit better. Let's guess which ones these are. Okay, so ABV, just so we all know, the Equinox Labs IPA is 7% alcohol.
Yeah.
The Sierra Nevada is...
6.3. That's a wild guess.
I like it.
I like your guess a lot. What did it say in the back here?
I don't know.
Front.
It could.
Front bottom?
Oh, 6.8.
Ah.
Old front bottom.
6.8. And then Coronado Brewing Company is a good old Snowy Plover. 6.0.
Oh.
Okay, so Coronado Snowy Plover's the least. I'm going to go... Well, no, I don't want to go first. I want Curtis to go first.
I'll go first.
Which do you think number one is?
I think that Coronado is one.
Okay.
One to one.
I like that.
I think one, two, three, Coronado, Celebration, and then Labs.
The Labs.
Yeah.
Josh.
I totally agree with Curtis.
I'm going to go
just doing that because I just found out it has a beer podcast.
I'm going to go Celebration, Coronado, Labs.
You want to like that Celebration, don't you?
So if we lift up the first cup, how many dots y'all got?
I got six dots.
Six dots.
Six dots. Six dots. Show me your six dots. Six dots. Six dots.
It's a Coronado Brewing Company.
Hey,
all right.
Hey.
Score.
All right. So the second cup, how many dots we got?
Four dots.
Four dots.
That's looking like a Celebration.
Ooh. Yeah. That makes...
I think. Let me double check here.
That makes total sense.
Yep. Celebration. Not bad, that celebration. And that leaves the labs. Would there be like a brood on date on this? Yeah.
Check that out.
Jeez Louise.
Sometimes they rub off.
Like, could be actually printed on the bottle and not the label. Yeah, that third one, it tastes like garbage. It was only $5 for a giant, for like the 22-ounce bottle, which is definitely good, a good price in that zone. So you don't
it was garbage.
But it's trash beer, so you'd be really upset. You're losing $5. It'd be like you accidentally dropped $5 down a sewer grate.
If it was a Costco purchase, I would legitimately take this back and be like, this was
Would you go spit really it off. Into the bottle in front of them so you know they... What happens there?
What do you mean?
A beverage. Well, actually, you can't return alcohol in the state of California.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yep.
I'm going to say that there's a bottle date, and it's a little smudged.
Oh, it's either underneath the price tag.
July 16th?
Okay.
7/16/16.
So that would be, so that'd be 4-5 months ago almost.
Yeah. But that doesn't seem like it should be as bad as it was, right? Unless, I mean, it has bubbles. It's not like the cap was open.
So they don't go bad.
It's not
bad, right? It loses that freshness. Like, for me, when I'm thinking of, like, an IPA, there's this, like, especially the, like, I like that kind of, like, Southern California hop-forward style when I was, like, really big in IPA, which are kind of, like, citrusy.
Okay.
And, like, a little bit, like, fresh, that, kind of that, like, piney, like, weedy taste.
Yeah. Okay.
And this has a real, like, bad version of that weedy taste.
Okay, gotcha.
So we am from Northern California.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's...
All right, let's look at these winter ales.
Sad.
This, we're going to get our holiday cheer on. We got a winter white ale. It's got snow all over it. This is from Bell's. Then we've got a Victory Winter Cheers. This is a really festive label. More snow on here. And then we've got Pray for Snow Winter Ale by the 10 Barrel Brewing Company. Alcohol ABV on the Pray for Snow is 7%. ABV on the Victory Winter Cheers is 6.7. Very close. And on the Bell's Winter White Ale, we're looking at 5.0.
Oh.
So the least amount.
Okay.
I'm looking forward. I've not had that. I've not had any of those.
Yeah, those are all new to me.
The Victory Winter Cheers, I like this label. It just seems very festive.
What do you, it looks to me like a yellow acorn from here, so what am I looking at?
A sun, maybe?
Okay. I see a nice...
Yeah, it's just a sun there.
Winter, nice winter
nice
sunset.
Nice font.
Yeah.
Nice font.
It definitely it looks like a happy seasonal beer.
It does. You're having a good time. It's a Victory, that's a Philly brewery.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't familiar with them. I know Bell's just is like, I think it's Michigan or Minnesota. Yeah. And they're like making their way out here, like making a name for themselves on the West Coast.
Trying to do it.
That Bell's Two-Hearted.
Two-Hearted
Ale,
that's
like their kind of go-to. Is that an IPA?
It's not, but it's like, it's better than like a lot of basic level IPAs. Like,
for sure.
Yeah, I'd order the Two-Hearted over like a no-name IPA probably.
Yeah, it's really good. I really like the Bell's Two-Hearted. It's like, because for me, that kind of falls in my zone, my sort of like hoppiness toleration zone. Where like, I like to taste all beers, but definitely like as far as drinkability, there's like a drinkability factor with something like that where it's just, I guess it's more probably just a pale ale. Than the true IPAs that are just, they can be heavy duty. But that's also, I will say, back to these for 2 seconds, is that I did enjoy it. The celebration, I'm surprised how much I liked it. I've had it before, but it really stood out.
Nice.
And didn't just taste like Sierra Nevada, which I feel like most of their beers just kind of taste like somehow.
Yeah, I didn't get that
either.
They
have like a weird signature to them.
Yeah. You can taste their specific bitter somehow.
Yeah, I don't know what that, yeah.
All right, let's jump into number one on this round two.
Hey, can you pass them?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
Andy!
Interesting smells.
Mm. Oh yeah,
what is going on there?
It's got a real fruity nose.
Yeah, almost wheaty, wheated.
I like it. Almost like a Hefeweizen smell to it, sort of.
Yeah. Yep, it's that kind of, which is weird. It's a.
Oh, it's very fruity.
Yeah. It's almost at like, it's almost like rotten bananas in a weird
way. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And which is also weird to drink after. It's like what happens for whatever reason chemically, like when you drink a wheat beer after a non-wheat beer.
Okay.
We just did, because all these other ones would not be. But
That's, now that you say rotten banana, I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head.
Yeah. This is a fruit fly attractor right here.
Yes. Yeah. You could catch them.
Yeah. You could catch them with this.
Sure.
It's a very light colored beer.
Second, that's the, by the way, that's the flow right there. That's the second week in a row that catching fruit flies has come up on.
Oh, yeah. That is weird. That sounds us. Very weird.
You know what? We live in a city where not a lot of windows close well, I guess.
Most of them are from the turn of the century, you see.
Yeah,
when fruit flies were a delicacy.
Very sweet nose, very kind of like wheat taste, like, you know, like a Hef or unfiltered wheat kind of beer.
Sure,
it's not bad. I wouldn't buy it again. You know,
What? The flavor's not as good as the smell.
Yeah,
like it's a little like a light in flavor once you get into it.
That is true. Which at first I was kind of like, well, I mean, like it's. Again, kind of that like smooth thing. Yeah. It's easy to drink once you're in there, but it's there's nothing really to it. There's certainly nothing wintry about it. Like I'll give a big fuck you to your winter claims.
Yeah, that doesn't bring any snowy landscapes to my mind.
Come on, this is wintry sunset.
All right, let's go to number two here.
All righty, thank you.
This one I'm going to say smells more winter. I feel like I can kind of smell the Christmas tree on this one.
Okay. I'm just getting plastic cup mostly.
Yeah, it's a little... What if this is when I learned I don't know how to smell?
Oh, I've never known what smell is.
What are you guys doing over here?
Weasley over Curtis is just like licking the beer like a cat.
Whoa, there's like a pine solly taste to this one. Very interesting backside of this.
Oh. I don't quite get the pine sol, but I'm surprised how similar it is to the first one. I really thought I knew what the first one was, and now I'm questioning
it. Wait, is it not pine sol? There's something, not cinnamony, but something like nutmeggy about it, maybe?
Oh.
Could it be nutmeg? What's this? There's a spice.
Do you think pine sol has nutmeg in it?
Maybe.
He always adds a little extra just to be sure.
I'm kind of sticking with my pine sol.
I see what you mean. There's like definitely a spice.
Is it nutmeg? What is that spice? There's a very popular spice.
Oregano? I would say, I could follow you on nutmeg for sure. Because nutmeg just tastes
is
like...
Is it anise? What is the anise spice like?
Licorice.
No, I know that, but...
It's like, I think, what, it'd be cloves?
Cloves!
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. But I don't get too much nutmeg, cloves, or other flavors.
It tastes kind of like nothing.
Yeah.
But, how could you call this nothing?
I get I think what I was getting from you saying, whatever you said, spices, that like... It has that kind of like emptiness if you kind of improperly spice something, or like if you accidentally bit into a clove, that it tastes almost like astringent or something in your mouth. It doesn't taste like anything. You know, like cinnamon and sugar and butter on bread is awesome. But like if you just ate cinnamon. That sounds
fantastic right now.
Mm-hmm. But like just cinnamon straight up is gross.
Yeah.
Like no one wants that. It's a challenge on the internet.
I bit into a clove the other day in an apple pie that we had made. Yeah. Like we didn't use like ground up cloves. We used full cloves. And I was like,
oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. It has like a marble in your mouth.
This kind of has like an Allagash taste.
Oh.
Beer Allagash.
Sure.
Like Allagash White maybe.
Yeah. Oh. Allagash White.
Yeah. Because I guess Allagash is the brewery.
Right.
Yeah. But I just used to call it Allagash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's in Maine, which feels like it should be like somewhere in Europe. But
Yeah.
This one I would say is definitely has a little bit more of a winter vibe than the first one. But I'll it take is that. Still.
It's got more flavor.
It's for not sure. warm. It's not making me toasty.
Mm. No. The celebration made me toasty. I got the winter connection there.
Let's
go on to number three.
Let's go to this number three. Now, three is much darker than the first two.
It is. Black as night.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells good.
Heavy on this malty caramel color.
Yeah, it's a very heavy malt.
Mmm, smells sweet, too.
Very malty.
But these were all in the same...
I don't know about this.
These were all in the same zone ABV wise, right?
No,
one was five. We had 5, 6.8, and 7, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
Blah, 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 blah.
Is this kind of stouty?
Bitter.
Like a stout meets a IPA? A stout meets a Hefeweizen?
I would say it's like, you know, sometimes when they make the heavier their alcohol, you have to like sweeten it up a bit. So like when you get like a double IPA or something, they taste like more sweet and less hoppy.
Yeah.
There's definitely like a malty sweetness to this.
Huh. Yeah. Wait, and is that a function of, the sweetness is a function of like, we need to do this, just like temper what we've done to this beer, or do you know if it's a process?
I think it's like, I think it's the process. I think something about the process, like it's hard to get that high of alcohol without it tasting like a,
right, creates like a more
brandy
sugars
or sherry, you know, like, so you're, instead of having like a wine, you have to like, so you can over hop it, I think, and that's how you get away from that flavor.
Got it.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't like this very much, I don't think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to drink a whole beer of that.
Yeah.
No. The second sip is better. But I think it's just a little too bitter, too rubbery.
Yeah, I mean, it tastes malty and sweet, which are two things I don't look for in a beer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm okay with a little sweetness. The thing that's bothering me about this is definitely like the bitter aftertaste on it. Is anybody else getting that? Or
I'm getting the like soapy aftertaste vibes, sort of.
Yeah. It makes me kind of like lick my teeth and kind of.
Yeah.
What would be the name for that motion? Like a clear my tongue move?
A chipmunk or a beaver?
Yep. Yeah, it makes me do the beaver.
The beaver.
A wet mouth beaver?
Curtis, what was your favorite of these three?
You know what? May I go back through?
Please do.
I think I'm going to join you. Let's all take a little
ride down this road.
Down memory lane. Okay. Mm. That's something.
The smell of number one, I find abrasive.
When do you
now
smell on your beers, Andy? Okay, I got this.
I don't like any of these, to be honest.
I'm not... Ew. None of these are grabbing me. The first one, Celebration, tasted good. I would drink a whole one. I would drink many of them. These three, there's one I would potentially, if I drank it and identified it, I would go back to the well and get another one.
All right, let's start with you. What's your favorite one?
One.
Okay.
I go right down the line on these, I think.
1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Curtis Woodman.
Yeah, same. I go right down the line. 1, 2, 3.
I'm 2, 3, 1. I don't like the first one.
Okay. I think I get you on that.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that I take aggressive jumps between 1 and 2. There's not that big of a difference to me. I prefer 1 because I get a better smell to it. But from 2 to 3, leaps and bounds of. I wouldn't want 3. If I ordered at a bar, I would probably let it sit and be like, oh, let me go get a whiskey.
Have you guys ever sent back a drink?
No.
I did once.
Yeah.
And it was the guy was so shitty to me.
Really?
Yeah. I had I think it's called Bando or Bandini. It's like across the street from Mohawk Bend.
Okay.
It's a little like beer and wine bar. And they had like a pretty nice selection of taps. I knew everything, minus like 2 or 3. And there was a white rye IPA or something. And I was like, how's that? And the guy's like, yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, you can, if you don't like it, I'll get you something else. And I like, okay, cool. And I had it and it was terrible. And I had a couple beers before. So I think my palate was definitely like leaning towards whatever I'd been drinking earlier at dinner. And I was just like, you know, I don't really like it. It doesn't really taste like an IPA to me. And he just grabbed it and was like, "You want to taste the next beer before I pour it for you?" And I was like,
"Jesus Christ!"
And he's the one who offered, like, if I didn't like it, he would take it back. And I felt so like,
yeah, fuck that guy.
I was like offended, and I've never been back to that bar.
No,
so
yeah, fuck you, Bandini.
Yeah,
really, fuck yourself.
Yeah, but other than that, I would drink it or just buy something else. But he gave me the option.
Yeah. Of course. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it's hard. I mean, it's such a hard situation because, you know, especially now that like it feels like tastings are so common that it's rare that you, especially with beers or whatever. But like, I mean, I'd even imagine with a cocktail that someone would be more likely to be like, oh, I just poured one. I can give you a little like taste of this if you want to try it. You know, that it's not a, it just seems so rare that you'd have to, but it is, I mean, it's just liquid. They could toss it out. I mean, there's very rare things that are actually like, they're like losing money dumping it down the drain.
If you poured like a Johnny Walker Blue or something and then you sent it back, it's like, that's a cost loss. What is this? Yeah. But like beers like cost pennies, you know, like if you're selling by the keg. So fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right. So what do we think these ones are?
I'm going to say just by nature of this has got to be the 7% beer, which I'm going to say was the big barrel one, the 10,
so.
Right?
Pray for Snow.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's Pray for Snow. I'm going to say that this is the Bells because I want to like the Bells.
Which one?
The
number one?
I'm going to say number one is the Bells. Number two is Winter Cheers. And number three is the 10 barrel.
Okay. Josh?
As I've always said, even though Andy and Curtis's neighbors have been cooling off, Curtis and I have always been ride or die. I'm going to go Bells is one, Victory is two, and the Pray for Snow is three.
All right. I'm going to switch it up a little like I did earlier. I'm going to go number one is Winter Cheer. Number two is Bells. And three is Pray for Snow.
But you like the label so much on Winter Cheers, and you did not like the beer number one.
No, I know. Yeah, I think exactly.
I like that. You're not just voting with emotions. No. You're voting with science.
No.
Yeah. All right, science.
All right, so cup number one, how many dots y'all got?
I got two.
I got two dots. Two. So Winter Cheer, y'all.
Shut the fuck up. Really?
Yeah.
I am shocked. Shout out to my wife's family's from Northern Delaware, which is basically you're repping Philly. So
number two is the Bells.
Number two
is the Bells. Okay.
And then three is Pray for Snow.
Yeah.
So I got it.
That is.
Wow.
Wow. Well, you're feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah. Pretty good. I mean, after all of that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, I would not buy
any of these. I are still friends. So.
So next week we'll do Hanukkah beers.
Okay.
Great. Let's take a little voicemail. Can we do a voicemail, guys?
I wouldn't buy any because of their Christmas associations.
What's that?
You wouldn't buy any of them because of their Christmas associations?
Yeah, exactly.
Alrighty.
Oh, boy. Sorry about these noises. That's the phone problems I was telling you guys about. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I have a question that I thought of on the way over here that we can ask while just a question for Curtis.
Okay.
Oftentimes, drinks are served inside coconuts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly tiki drinks. Is there any other fruit you think should be a vessel? Or other object, other found object?
I think that no one does it, but they should maybe serve vodka inside of a potato.
Oh, interesting.
Crazy inside of a Yukon. Actually, you'd want like a big fucking russet.
Yeah.
Thick skin baking potato.
Like you could, I mean, they're cheap, you know, so disposable shot glass. It'd be a gimmick, but it'd be a fun gimmick.
That's pretty fun. Because then you could also have some weird challenge where like if you eat the potato, they give you the vodka for free.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have to eat the raw potato.
Because whatever, like that's disgusting and what, maybe someone eats one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they want to eat 20, let them. It's you got to watch them eat 20. It's worth your money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to post up here under the spotlight.
Yeah. You got to eat 20.
You know, wear this clown suit and, you eat 20 potatoes, please.
Yeah, I'll give you a free bottle of Well Vodka if you do that. That's $6 value.
Wow, that's good. Do you have another one, Josh?
No, I was just curious.
No, that's really good.
Yeah.
I think because the sturdiness certainly comes into play.
Yeah, so
it's a very limited quantity of...
you can carve it.
Yep. Mm. I guess a pumpkin.
That would is raw pumpkin like poisonous or something? Isn't there some... Are you familiar with that?
I mean, but who's eating the coconut? Right? I mean, like...
Yeah, that's true. I mean, no one's like biting into that.
Like maybe you do like take a little sliver of it and you're like, oh, it's like slime. Man.
That's true.
What about like a bell pepper?
Ugh. Everyone just gets like super farty and crampy at this bar.
A lot of heartburn.
Oh, and we also do stuffed peppers, which is like ground beef and rice. The worst meal possible.
It's like a
worst
pepper,
bar food.
Yeah. The pepper platter. It's like a shot of tequila and a pepper, and then stuffed peppers for dinner.
I guess you could do it in a hot pepper. That could be fun.
Oh, like a jalapeno shooter.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be interesting.
Jalapeno poppers, two ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bartender hands them over wearing gloves.
My wife got, we were at mess hall, and she got, I'm going to have to ask her. It was some sort of cocktail, but it had like a Serrano. It had Serrano in the description.
Yes.
And it was way too spicy for her. Mm-hmm. And I had a sip of it. It was really spicy.
Yeah. Some of those are not fun.
Yeah.
I like a spicy cocktail, but it's, I get it that it's not a, it's, I've definitely had them before. They're not too, they're just not fun. Cause like, even if you like spicy food, if it then like burns your skin.
Yeah. Right. It's like salty and burny. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like what you're going for with your Mexican food.
Well, you're definitely not going to have a second one.
Right.
So it's almost like a bad ploy for them to like.
Yeah. You know. Or maybe it's a really good, cause you're like, well, I'm going to have something else.
I got to have. Yeah.
I wasn't super satisfied.
We should, yeah. That's a good bar trick, is like make a bunch of shitty cocktails. Some people buy them.
Right.
Like, oh, this is terrible.
This
They're too embarrassed to give it back and buy a second one.
Oh, bottlenecks is just like glass of red wine. I don't know. How's that?
The voicemail's ready. It's ready to go. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Hey, Roro and JoJo. This is Andy from Albuquerque. Roro, just make JoJo your co-host. Come on, man. He's been your sidekick for 2 years, and he's been great. Just do it. Don't wait till end of the year. He deserves it. He's worked so hard. Love you guys. Go fuck yourself. Bye.
Well, thanks for the message, Andy. As I said once before, or a couple times before on this show, I have till the end of the year to make my decision, and I'm going to take everything into account, but I'm not going to make a hasty fucking decision right now with my emotions.
The cool thing is, Andy already promoted me in his voicemail. He said I've been your co-host for 2 years. So, feel pretty solid about this. Thank you, Andy.
This comes to a really weird, hard part of the show for me. Sorry to segue, intern Josh. This is the usually would be the last segment of the show, and it was a segment that we fondly called Brian's Question. But that segment is over. It ended at episode 101.
Is it when Brian passed?
Exactly. When Brian perished last week. Mm-hmm. What do we do now?
I don't know.
I feel lost. I'm going to turn to you, Curtis.
Okay.
You seem to have a wealth of knowledge about beer, whiskey, bourbons.
And you're a monster on the sad trombone.
Yeah, I was hoping I'd be able to use that trombone that I brought in.
Do you have a question for us that you are curious about?
You know, I got a question that maybe it's been covered 103 times.
Sure.
But worst beverage you've ever had?
Oh,
question.
Oh,
we've had a few on the show.
Yeah, there. I mean,
what was that Chicago liquor?
Jepson's Malort.
Have you had Malort?
No, but it sounds great.
It's like it tastes like. I mean, okay, so you know, like you will sometimes describe the sort of rubber tire-ness of like beer or wine because it just there's whatever that thing is that makes it taste like that. That's like the soul of Jepson's Malort is like graphite and rubber, and it's a clear liquor, and apparently it's a Chicago only thing.
Yeah.
It used to only be made in Chicago and only sold in Chicago. At some point they moved the operation to Florida. And it's still only sold in Chicago. And it's just like an old Swedish gross thing.
Yeah,
that is just like some
Malort.
Malort. Yeah. It's specifically Jepson's Malort.
Malort.
You can go to any bar in Chicago apparently and get it. It's fucking gnarly.
Wow.
I would say the other thing, I went to the Coca-Cola Museum as a 12-year-old boy in Atlanta, Georgia, and there was some soda there, like when it's like the taste of Coke from around the world, and there was some soda from Italy that just tasted like crushed up Tylenol. It was just like a completely bitter, otherwise flavorless, sugarless soda. And so especially when you've spent an entire morning just like ripping on like Coke from, you know, all over the world and all of the Coke products and whatever else. And then you get to, oh yeah, here's a bunch of ground up medicine. And maybe that's how they're going to vaccinate kids in Atlanta or something. Just like tricking them into hitting Coke from around the world. I have no idea.
Wow.
Do you have anything?
No, I would just have Malort.
Yeah.
It's my top one, I think. Okay. What about you? Do you have one?
It's vile stuff.
You know, when I asked it, I was thinking of worst thing you've accidentally drank or something. And I had a drink in my mind, which was one time I bought an energy drink and it had gone bad.
Oof.
And I don't know what, like, either they didn't put the flavoring in, so it was like unflavored, or like it spoiled in the can. And it was supposed to be like a strawberry Monster energy drink or Rockstar or something. And it tasted like bad vinegar.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was like in a car. We were like, it was early morning. My brother and I were driving somewhere. I cracked it open, took a sip, and then had to roll down the window and spit it out, and then pulled over and threw the can away.
Yeah.
I was
so
hoping you said you still drank the whole thing.
No, you pulled over, was just said, all right.
Like in a different, like, if it, even for like Malort or like that, like Italian cola, I probably would have drank it because, like, I'm like, I'll just drink it. It's like terrible, but I can learn to taste it. But it was something. There was something rancid about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if there were a mouse at the bottom. Like that kind of like, you know.
Oh, God.
But I was so gross, I didn't want to find out.
Yeah. You're the weight of it hitting the top of the can as you tilt it back. Oh, why the splash in my face?
Comes out in my mouth. I'm like, that's a tail. That's a little rat tail.
Too small to be a rat tail.
I can't think of anything rancid like that for me. Yeah. I did brush my teeth with antifungal cream last year, which was horrendous.
Oh my God.
That's not a beverage situation.
That's a different podcast.
Totally different podcast. Man, that's fantastic, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to stew on that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Let's try to drink more gross stuff.
I did drink, in my 20s, a bet. I drank a combination of urine... Kool-Aid.
Doesn't matter what's after that.
Well, no, it gets better, though.
Well, it tasted mostly like Kool-Aid. Impossible.
Urine, Kool-Aid, and bong water.
Oh.
For $50. Oh, so that's actually definitely...
Fucking dollars.
That's definitely the worst thing I ever it was BDT's urine.
Oh, well, hey, at least you knew where it was from.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to drink other people's urine. I mean, yeah. I don't think you're supposed to drink urine.
I puked.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
How much did you drink?
I know. I forget. Like, I had to drink a certain amount. It wasn't like you can't just take, like, a sip of this.
Oh, my God.
I can't
if I
remember.
Thought about this long enough, I think I'd make myself throw up, and I think it's very hard to do.
I when we had the idea because we were really messed up, and
really?
We were ripping gravity.
we were sitting in algebra class, and yeah.
We were ripping that gravity bong in the kitchen sink, and then somehow it came up like the, you know, it was like a dare situation, and I'll never forget. No one had to piss, and then. All of a sudden Travis was like, you know what, I think I might be able to go, and I think he like got a chair so he could stand, you know, high enough to pee into the sink. Oh. And I can just remember holding my buddy Dharma, like we were hugging each other, crying, laughing so hard, like once he started pissing into the sink.
Oh, the new, you know,
the days of being able to just drink urine and bong water and have no cares in the world.
I feel like I know this story has come up at some point in the Totally Lame podcast history, but
sure.
I've never thought about the fact that BDT, he couldn't piss. He didn't want to. So it wasn't like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll go chug this giant thing of water. Then I'll definitely have to pee. Instead, it was like the it was the bottom of the gas tank.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the yellowest of all peas that you
also
drink.
It was like a forced, yeah.
Yeah, that's the forced doctor's office pee.
Do you remember like what was the overall, did the Kool-Aid mask the urine?
No. It was
to which the answer was obviously no.
The takeaway was the Kool-Aid, really. No,
you write a really indignant letter to the Kool-Aid company. Yeah. Dear sirs.
Yeah. No, there's something really you can't escape that urine taste. And it was like, I remember puking and not being able to get that taste out of my mouth.
Ooh.
And I think a lot of it's a mental taste also.
Yeah.
Like, but not just not being able to get rid of that.
Ooh.
Awful.
Yeah, that was a bad... The next morning, wasn't feeling good about anything.
Yeah.
Second worst beverage that Andy's ever drank, by the way.
Yeah, Malort, though.
Yeah, Malort was pretty bad. I guess this runner-up would be when I drank human urine.
And bong water.
And bong water.
And Kool-Aid.
The splash of Kool-Aid.
Well, Curtis, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It was a pleasure.
You've been a delight. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
How do people find you? What's the best way to check you out?
At C. Rainsbury or Cranesbury on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the same as your Vine account?
That is my that would be my Vine account I open up tonight.
Okay.
53 million loops, guys. You got to check it out.
You got to check it out. Some of them are 4 seconds long. Some of them are 3 seconds long.
Whew. A lot of range.
Yeah.
Do you have any shows coming up that the Los Angeles folks should come check out?
I do a show the first Saturday of every month called The Midnight Show.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What time's that at?
It's at 11:59 p.m.
Okay.
For calendar purposes.
That's fucking smart, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate that. Fucking fucks me up every time.
It is a real, it's a real throw off for some. It is. So, yeah,
11:59 p.m. I missed a flight because of that, but that's a different podcast.
I want to listen to that podcast. Yeah.
I'll two of those
misconnections. And then the first Sunday of every month, it's a very busy weekend for me. On the first weekend of every month, I do a show called Beef Party, which is a three-man improv show at the Pack Theater.
Oh, nice!
Which is a very fun new upstart theater.
And sweet,
yeah.
All right, cool.
And will now I have to ask. January 1st is a Sunday. Will it be that Sunday or will it be the following Sunday?
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, sleeping in.
Yeah. So all of January's first weekend shows are canceled.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
February. Check it out.
See you first in week February. Of February.
We'll put all these links in the show notes.
Make
sure you follow Curtis and check out these shows.
Listeners.
Go fuck yourself.